Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for July the 12th. May I have a roll call, please?
Paul?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson? Reiner? Bollinger?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. The responsibility of the board is to interpret the city's zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. Public meetings are held monthly, and each board member has an opportunity to go out and review the site in question, and usually comes back with a decision to be made at the public meeting. The minutes have been distributed. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
The board has approved the minutes of the previous meeting of June 14th. The following items are before us this evening. The board to hold a public hearing on the case number 12-037 at 2701 Devil's Glen Road. It's a C2 district to request a variance to allow an 8-foot-high fence submitted by Scott Rubens. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is. Mr. Chairman, this location is the former Eagles Building at the intersection of Middle Road and Devil's Glen Road. The site is outlined in the graphic before you in red. The applicant is seeking to place an 8-foot fence around the south and east sides of the building. Both of these would be considered rear sides of the building. By code, the maximum fence height in this area that would be allowed is a 6-foot-high fence. This facility is being converted and renovated into a electronic data storage center. It'll have sensitive business, perhaps even government electronic material stored for off-site storage, for backup and safety for various locations. The applicant feels that the 6-foot fence is insufficient from a security standpoint. The applicant has chosen a decorative wrought iron style of fence. This again would be 8 feet in height, and the schematic shows the actual fence that has been chosen by the applicant. The single predominant issue with this type of facility is obviously security, and that is the reason for this request. Based on the plan that they have placed out, this fence will have very little, if any, impact on any of the street frontages. It probably will not be at all visible from Middle Road and only partially visible from Devil's Glen Road, and it appears that it will not have any adverse impact on the surrounding area. In fact, regarding the surrounding area, immediately to the south and adjacent to this location is Wallace's Greenhouse, I'm sorry, Wallace's Garden Center, and they have sent a letter of support. This letter is in response to the request for a variance to allow 8-foot-high fence at 2701 Devil's Glen Road. We, the owners and management of Wallace Garden Center, support this request and are in favor of the 8-foot fence. Several years ago, we completed an 8-foot fence line around three sides of Wallace's. Since that time, we have eliminated all instances of thefts, trespassing after hours, and vandalism to our property. We feel this fence is an invaluable tool in protecting our business and assets, and we fully support the installation of the 8-foot fence for our neighbors. It is signed by Doug Nelson, the owner, and Kate Terrell, the chief financial officer. Also received a email letter of support from Dr. Sandeman at Glen Road Veterinary Clinic, and he also indicated that he reviewed the case and supported the request. These obviously are the two nearest neighbors that would have the most impact by the installation of the fence. I believe that is a summary of the report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this proposal? Seeing none, the board would discuss it. You have a question or something,
I have really no questions about this.
No, I have questions. I think it's a good-looking fence, and under the circumstances,
understandable.
Understandable, and doesn't adversely affect anyone. I don't have any problem with it at all.
Okay. Does someone want to make a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we approve case 12-039 for the request for a variance to allow the 8-foot-high fence.
I'll second that.
Okay. Is there a roll call, Lisa?
Falk?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Aye. Case number 12-039 at 2701 Devil's Glen Road for an 8-foot-high fence has been approved. B, case number 12-041 at 1460 Isle Parkway, a C7 district, has requested a modification of an existing special use permit to allow auctions submitted by U.S. auctioneers. John, is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
And would you explain the...
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This site involves a portion of the Isle of Capri property. The entire property is this area here. The special use permit that was granted in May of 1993 involves lots 1 and 2, which is the site outlined in red on the graphic currently being displayed. In May of 1993, the special use approved periodic auctions for semi-trucks and trailers at this site. And it has been operating, again, periodically since 1993. In April of this year, the board reviewed the special use based on some information that had been received and advised staff to monitor the situation, respond to any complaints that would be received, and bring any information back to the board. Just recently, we did receive more information from Mr. Gackle that a auction was taking place on site and items other than semi-tractors and trailers were being auctioned at the site. Staff responded and indeed found that this was the case. We see most of the other items that are not semis and semi-tractor trailers predominantly were commercial types of items oriented. However, there were some that were not. We did see just some passenger vehicles, recreational vehicles. Predominantly, the auctions that are taking place on this site are semi-tractors and trailers. The other items are considerably less than the amount of semi-tractors and trailers that take place and could be considered ancillary too. In response to what staff found at the site, a letter was sent to U.S. auctioneers indicating that they were in violation of the original agreement, and they responded to staff and were quite forward, or came forward and quite honestly said, well, we didn't realize these other ancillary items were in violation of the original order, and they've been taking place all the time down there since 1993. Staff was able to get numerous overhead photos, satellite type photos or flyovers of this area from various years, and we were able to confirm that indeed that's true. It goes back a long ways, and you can see that although the predominant item being sold down here in the auctions are semi-tractors and trailers, there are also other ancillary items that are being sold. Once they became aware that it was not being allowed and staff sent the letter of correction to them, they filed the application to you requesting modification to include the items that have been for sale down there for years now. Mm-hmm. Aesthetically speaking, obviously these large semi-tractors and trailers are the largest items on site during the auctions, and they are the most from a neighborhood impact standpoint, they are of the highest intensity use of anything down there being auctioned. The The other items down here are much smaller, and therefore, the staff would look at them as being less intensive to be involved in the auctions. I believe you all have at your desk a letter of support that was received. This is from Scott Tunnicliffe. Indicated I was recently appraised of this case, had an opportunity to review the background staff analysis, find it easy to concur with staff that since there was no complaints over 19 years of the operation, and since the request is to allow sales and of implements and equipment that have already gone forward, and further that the sales are much less intensive use in the site, that the use ought to be allowed. I was not aware that sales of any more than trucks on site, but now that I am know that there is a greater offering, I may well be inclined to attend and tell others to do so. Perhaps it will become tourist destination where visitors can view equipment for sales and also view the majesty of our riverfront. This is good non-polluting use of the area. Staff feels that the modification being requested is in keeping with the original findings of facts from the 1993 decision and order and the intent of the original order. If this modification is allowed, we would suggest wording of some type to limit as to what exactly you do want to see down there. Perhaps some verbiage to the in the order of as long as those items are less intensive and fewer than the semi-tractors, or however you would like to look at this. If you do wish to make modifications, staff would suggest some wording as to exactly what you do want to see there so that we can police whatever action you would like to have done down there. I believe that summarizes the issue before you this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal? I see none. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this proposal? Go back to the podium, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Sexer. I live at 1304 Broadlawn Avenue here in Bettendorf. I have some questions about this from an environmental standpoint, and that is, you know, my taxes have been increased in the last couple of years that I now have a stormwater utility fee that I must pay. And my question is, and I've also been a Bettendorf resident long enough to remember the beautiful lime pile that was just a couple hundred yards away from this lot that the taxpayers got to pay to clean up. And so my question is, now that they are selling heavy equipment at this site, and knowing that heavy equipment has a significant amount of oil and hydraulic oil, and I've never seen a piece of used construction equipment yet that did not have oil leaks, what happens to the stormwater runoff from this lot when they have this equipment on site? And are we, the taxpayers, going to get stuck to pay for cleanup by the EPA if oil gets into the river? You know, and I looked at the auction website today, and there are currently, for the next sale, they already show three excavators and a Caterpillar 963 dozer. In fact, today there's already a dozer on site down there. I assume it's for the next sale. So that's my big concern, is what's the environmental issues associated with leaking oil from heavy equipment?
From my experience, the stormwater was implemented by the federal government, and the city had to do that plan and had to charge for that to eliminate stormwater drainage areas in the city. So that's why you're paying the stormwater fee. If these vehicles are all running and they drive them in there, I don't see that they would have many leaks, if any, in my opinion. I don't know what other people feel about this, but I think it's good quality merchandise that's being ready for sale, that's able to be sold and moved off without any leaks. If it's leaking, they wouldn't bring it there anyway, I wouldn't think. They'd have to repair it to even to get it there. Does anyone else have any comments on that here?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
The lime pile that he was
over there
referring to was on the other side of the bridge, and indeed that was cleaned up by the city. That was on city property. This is on private property.
Well, that was a question.
Well, anyhow, I guess I would like to see something in the agreement that requires them to ensure that there is no leaking oil from this heavy equipment. You know, that it's, well, that it's either they put pans underneath it or that they clean it up when it happens. And then related to that, I have a question, is what's the bridge capacity of our 17th Street Bridge, since now they will, I assume this heavy equipment gets transported across that bridge, which is a city-owned bridge.
Well, I think you're asking this body engineering and environmental questions that we're really, quite frankly, unqualified to answer without additional input from staff or even that staff would have to gather. So I think you probably have valid questions, but obviously I don't think we're a group that can answer those questions for you here and now.
So I would propose that that action on this be delayed until those questions are answered.
Well, we may have input here from staff that you know, they may have already, without our knowledge, have some background in you know, in available for answering your question. I don't know if staff has any.
I can tell you the I-74 bridge has approximately 74,000 to 78,000 vehicles go over it every day. It is not a city-owned structure. It is a part of the interstate system, I-74 interstate system.
I think his question was about the 17th Street Bridge.
Yeah, the 17th Street Bridge.
Oh, I see. George Thiene.
What he's referring to.
I see.
George,
I
assume that's the access.
I doubt it.
That's part of the access. I see them coming that way
as well.
Also come in down 23rd Street at mm-hmm. times. You know, I can't answer the question directly, Gary, but this isn't a rural bridge or something. I'm sure it's designed to hold up to whatever state and federal requirements for that type of bridge would be. And I do know that we had close discussions with the railroad because it goes over there right away, and I'm sure that it was designed at least to meet the requirements of heavy equipment coming over it.
I would expect so too, but it's just a side question. My real concern is the oil leaks.
And that property is privately owned, is it not?
The site that the auction is taking place on? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So wouldn't that responsibility not fall to the property owner?
Certainly if they cause any type of hazard, DNR would be made aware of it. It would be the responsibility of the property owner.
Okay, so the question of taxpayers having to pay for that.
That's why I wanted to make the distinction about the lime pile. That's on city-owned property.
Okay, that's, I agree.
Well, just another sidebar is the DOT is going to be acquiring a portion of that property also for the I-74 bridge project.
Right.
It'll probably take this whole thing out of there, won't it?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor? Would you give us your name and address, please?
Yes, Joe Judge, counsel for U.S. Auctioneers. Just to address some of those concerns, it's subject to all state, federal, environmental laws. Nothing about this variance is going to affect that. If there is leakage, U.S. Auctioneers would be responsible for it, for creating it. I mean, none of this variance is going to affect that. That'd be subject to whatever restrictions there are on the bridge going over. You know, if there's weight limits, nothing about this variance would affect that. So mm-hmm. they're going to be, U.S. Auctioneers is going to be, have to comply with all the other, all existing regulations and laws with regards to those things. And
okay. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this proposal?
Greg Gaffel, 1116 Cofelt Avenue. I have a couple clarifications I wanted to ask about first before I make some comments. First, I'd like to know who legally is obtaining the permit. Is it Greenbridge, or is it USA Auctioneers? Is it the property owner, just the user of this property? Who is the legal recipient of the special use permit for this?
1993, named U.S. Auctioneers.
And they're the applicant currently, are they not?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it doesn't attach to the property if USA Auctioneers leaves this site for any reason, then the special use permit would end for that property. Is that correct?
Well, that's a good question, because it does specify lots 1 and 2 of Steamboat. I would say it probably does attach to the property because it would be filed in the recorder's office. So yes, I think that's a good point. It is attached to the property. The applicant is U.S. Auctioneers, and they were given the authority to file the application through the aisle originally. Yes, it is attached to the property because in the preamble to the decision and order, it states the legal description of the property.
Then the legal notice on this public hearing today is wrong. And also the various information that's been circulated is wrong.
If I can just
speak. Why would it be wrong?
Tell us what's wrong.
John issued his opinion. That wasn't a legal opinion, Mr. Gackle. So I think we would have to go back and review the original application and notice an order basically to see if it was relative to U.S. Auctioneers.
I think that's relevant to this hearing, though, isn't it, before we proceed? My other question, too, is what is ancillary? I mean, that's a huge, huge generalization of what it is that might be down there.
And that was the distinction I was trying to make at the end. If a modification is made, my word ancillary, what I'm attempting to say here is the predominant use of the auctions down here is semi-tractor trailers. I believe that's evident. And I believe that's what the board's original decision was, is that you felt that that would be the major thing going on down here.
I mean, really, what their next auction has a 41-foot boat, two of them. Is that an ancillary equipment to semi-trailer trucks?
Well, it was brought on a low boy. I would think they'd probably be able to sell it. I don't know.
Well, I think that's one of the issues before us, is if we're going to extend this thing to other areas, what kind of restrictions, if any, you want to put on it? Do we want automobiles down there? Do we want just commercial vehicles, commercial farm vehicles or something like that? Seems to me those are the considerations that we should probably talk about.
Do we decide what's ancillary, or do we allow the petitioner to allow decide what's ancillary?
Okay. Well, we'll discuss that.
The applicant, the way it's written, is U.S. Auctioneers, and Dick Phelps is the owner of U.S. Auctioneers, Inc. So, and I don't know what the notice says, so that, unfortunately, I guess. That's who the applicant is, simple as that. I assume, and I guess that's an assumption, but if they're the applicant and the owner happens to be Greenbridge, I believe, but it might be wrong, but whoever owns it would. Is consenting to the application.
Well, this has been going on for 19 years, almost 20, and there's been no problem with wheeled vehicles being there. I would consider having wheeled vehicles only be brought there, so if anything that could be on a wheel or on a low boy or a trailer or whatever could be sold. Except I would hate to see refrigerators and stoves and that type of thing to be wheeled in or castered in. But Is there anyone else? Or
well, let me make my comments then. If
okay.
I still don't really understand what ancillary means, which is to me is a key part of this, whether it's bulldozers, excavators, what?
The eyes of the beholder. So go ahead. I'll listen to your ancillary arguments. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, don't you think it's fair to ask for a clarification of that before granting them blanket use of that riverfront? It is not accurate to say that they have been selling large boats, numerous cars, and ancillary equipment down there for 19 years. That's a fairly recent phenomenon, and it's been in recent years, I would say within the last year, that they've added substantial amounts of other equipment and cars down there. That's clearly in violation of their special use permit. They keep saying they don't understand. Don't they understand how to read the permit? The permit says they should have 8 days, 10 times a year down there, and they should be selling semi-trailers and tractors. They've clearly violated that over the entire period they've had a special permit. Just because nobody's complained about it doesn't remove the necessity to enforce it. I came here a few months ago asking you to revoke their permit. I think you should do that. Even after they've been warned about the terms of the days they use that property, they continue to use it beyond the terms of the special use permit. Jerry referred to that just a minute ago. Let me show you this picture. This photo was taken July 9th. Their next auction is July 26th. You do the math. It's way beyond 8 days. They have done this repeatedly in violation of their permit for years. Some people infer that this property isn't visible because it's adjacent to the I-74 bridge, that citizens shouldn't be concerned about how run down and basically crappy it looks. A few semis down there won't hurt the appearance, apparently. Let me point out, this property is a half block from City Hall. It's next to streets that have 40,000 plus vehicles a day go by there. It's next to a city park and the city's recreation trail. This is the front door to Bettendorf. Take a good look at it. Expanding the amount of items they have and sold down there is not warranted. It is not in the best interest of the city. This board should deny this request. It should put them on notice that they should abide by the special use permit they currently have or else revoke it. I've also heard comments from board members and staff saying the city has only received a single complaint in 19 years. Well, the adverse effect of this has been going on that long in violation of the special use permit. There's no doubt they've been doing it. The question is, why does it take citizens' complaints to have the city enforce its ordinances? Of course this auction has adverse effects on the adjoining properties and on the city of Bettendorf.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition to this proposal?
I want to say one thing. The word ancillary is John's word.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I just read through this application. Best I can tell, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so, but it doesn't exist in the application. The application is asking for, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I just want to make sure. We do have the occasion, they are talking about motorized vehicles and equipment, including but not limited to cars, pickups, lawn mowers, construction equipment, boats, and other recreational vehicles and farm tractors. That's what they're asking for. They're not asking for the ancillary. Now, we got to determine whether or not that's appropriate, but I think John entered the word ancillary in his report, which is really not in the application. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's okay. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Yes, Joe Judge again. This is, like John has laid out in his report, it's been going on for, it's been a successful business for 19 years, has a number of employees, does the addition to the area, the expansion, I hesitate to call it an expansion of the special use permit, but the clarification is for less intensive use, lower, smaller things, things that are, I think most people would agree, less obtrusive than a semi-tractor trailer. We'd be open to limitations on those, as you've discussed and as John suggested. If there's any other questions, I'm happy to take them.
I do feel it's inappropriate to put equipment down there prior to the time that you are going to have a sale, though.
Correct. I'm not sure if that's ours or not. And if that is outside the 10 days, then I would agree that that's a violation of the special use, and I'll talk to my client about it and make sure that it's followed.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
I'd like to maybe ask Mr. Judge a question or two too about his operation. Now he refers to employees down there. I'd like to know if the city of Bettendorf gets paid for having this down there at all, and where this USA Auctioneer is located.
Do you want to answer that to either John or?
I'm not aware of any fee that the city gets.
They have a business license.
They probably have a business license, though, wouldn't they?
They have a business license. I believe they're out of Rock Island, but I joke about that.
They pay taxes just like any other citizen. They pay. You know, Greenbridge pays taxes, and they lease the property to U.S. auctioneers. They pay income taxes in the state. They pay taxes just like anybody else.
But you need a business license in Bettendorf, and you have that business license?
I can't speak to that directly.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you should have, you know.
If we should, we should.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this proposal? What does the board wish to decide?
Well, one of the things I think we need to do, and I think we did this in response to Mr. Cackle's issues a couple months ago, is to reiterate that as to the time frame within the special use, and I think we made that a point the last time, and we need to make sure that we're at least compliant with those things. Well, this is an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, following the last meeting, staff sent a letter directly to U.S. auctioneers and to the Isle of Capri property informing them of the time constraints that the auctions may take place, and also resent them a copy of the original decision and order. After receiving this complaint about items other than semis, staff again sent a letter of compliance to both of the parties telling them that they were in violation.
Okay. Well, I think they should be a little more restrictive in what they do down there. What do you feel about it?
Well, I agree. I think that if, number one, and I realize Mr. Gackle has a problem with what's enforced now and doesn't want it to get any less restrictive, and I appreciate what you're saying. I guess for me to consider the application, I would like to have some additional information about proposed, you know, what where we feel this is going, because I could see this, you know, too broad an extension of this could just lead to chaos down there, and I don't think anybody wants that. None of us do. I don't think that anything they talked about would be any more abusive to city streets and bridges, certainly, than what is already allowed under the existing agreement. I mean, the things they're talking about asking to have permission to sell are probably less, you know, they're less wear and tear on our bridges than what goes across there now. So that part of it I'm not too worked up about. I feel comfortable that the owner is responsible, the owner and the user are responsible for the environmental issues, not the city and the taxpayers of the city. I mean, that's, at least under my current understanding, that I feel comfortable with that. But I think it would probably be worth maybe holding off till our next meeting to get a little bit more input from staff and maybe a recommendation about, and some discussion even amongst the board about what we feel is an appropriate use. Not using the word ancillary, maybe, but appropriate use for additional equipment, mm-hmm. maybe sizes, quantities, whatever. If that, you know, this is kind of open-ended, the application, and that to me it seems open-ended, and I'm concerned about having those sorts of things out there.
Maybe some kind of a restriction on the area that can be devoted, a percentage or something, an area that can be devoted to non-truck trailer things.
Certain area, yeah.
And maybe some restriction on what can be sold down there. I don't think we want a flea market, and I don't think we want
exactly.
people selling used refrigerators, as I think Norm said. Mm-hmm. I do think we could identify in this list of items that the application is made for things that would not be any more offensive than the operation is down there now, and restrict it to only a percentage. I don't know, but the applicant probably can help us come up with some numbers, and we can look at that. Now, whether we do that today or whether we do that before next meeting, at the next meeting, that's another issue.
Well, to me, that's something that would require a little study, little conversation, a little more knowledge than certainly what we have here sitting here tonight. So
I think that's something maybe the staff, in conjunction with the applicant, could come up with a proposal that maybe everybody could live with.
Not only that, we'll have two more board members here next month if we delay it a month. So is there a motion to delay this?
The only issue I'm going to bring up, and I don't know, Joe, when's the next auction? Is it in between now and the next month? And in mm-hmm. which case, do we want them to do something to at least permit them to proceed with the next auction so we don't run into an issue with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure when the day of the next auction, but I think it's the 26th of July.
I'm going to say that Greg is.
What's that?
26th of July.
It is the 26th, and they have advertised items that are
And that's before
auction.
Our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my opinion on this is that if something, you know, if we have allowed on the site a certain behavior for 1 year, 2 years, or up to 19 years, that certainly one more event
is going to make
that
a
level
difference.
if we can take a serious look at this in the meantime, certainly isn't, you know, a huge detriment in my view. And so I would rather just say, okay, you know, this may very well be the last event like this that's like this, but it may not too. But at least they go on with the plan as it is in this case. But I do think that we need to figure out, in terms of standing equipment, you know, just dropping equipment on the site, as early, you know, July 9th. I mean, that's 17 days. You know, that's, I'm not sure quite how many days that is outside the window, but obviously it's outside the window. And I think that one of the things that I'd like to get back from staff as part of any proposal or any negotiation they're talking about is what kind of teeth we have, you know, to make sure that if there are violations or repeated violations, that there's some sort of retribution. I assume that it's loss of their special use permit.
Well, ultimately, that is it. You can revoke it.
So
that's quite a bit of teeth.
Let's get some suggestions and from staff and so
from
forth.
What I'm hearing from the board, you'd like us to look at a percentage of area devoted to the auction, perhaps the types of things. This isn't a suggestion. I'm just, such as motorized vehicles only, or however we want it worded, and come back with you with some type of recommendation at the next meeting.
And I think that the staff probably ought to work with the applicant to see if we can come up with something that the staff yes. is willing to recommend and okay. we can talk about.
If we do have another auction between now and the next meeting, that gives John and I the chance to go down and do maybe just kind of a general inventory and see what type of items, take some more photographs and see what kind of a ratio there is for you.
Well, and very honestly, for those of us, we maybe have an opportunity. I've never had the occasion to attend one of those auctions, but it might, you know.
Might be one of the best fact findings we have to see if you don't want some of this stuff
talk
down
about
there
site,
next
talk
time,
about
or you
visit.
Do.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So what day is the actual auction?
26th.
The 26th? Okay.
Well, I guess you want something to maybe table's not the right thing. Let's defer it because table yeah. always gets right. us into problems. Yeah. So I'd move that we defer this until the next meeting, and that the staff work with the applicant and see if we can come up with something that that we might be acceptable to us to move forward with this, and further that in the meantime that the auction scheduled for the 26th be in keeping with the prior auctions and that they can conduct their auction.
And staff will report back to you as to the items we find at that auction.
Yes, any feedback we can get from staff would be appreciated.
Is that agreeable?
If that's a motion, I'll
second. Yeah, I make that in the form of a motion, not a speech.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We'll move on to item number C, which is case number 12-042 at 3652 Monks Road, an A2 district. A request for a variance to increase the allowable square footage of a garage from 720 square feet to 1,860 square feet to allow construction of a 36 by 30 foot garage or barn submitted by Kyle Howard. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. This site is located on Monks Road, approximately halfway between Crow Creek Road and Valley Drive. Site is outlined in yellow in the graphic being displayed before you. The applicant would like to replace a 324 square foot garage with a new 1,080 foot structure, whether you're going to call it a garage or a barn. 1,080 feet may cross over to being considered a barn in this area. The code states that in describing the rural residential district, that it is intended to create an environment of rural type homes on larger lots than those in the urban type of residential areas. The building that he is going to want to replace was built back in the 1920s. It's fallen into disrepair, and because of its age, it is not conducive to any types of repairs and needs to be replaced. Clearly, pole buildings, oversized garages, and barns are not encouraged in the urban areas of the city, however they may, at your discretion, have an appropriate use in these more rural areas of the city. This building, if allowed, would house yard equipment, tools, a 12-foot covered trailer, garden tractor, a lawn thatcher, a Massey Ferguson tractor, and numerous other items, all of which are used in the maintenance of this larger piece of property. The applicant is asking the board to accept that analysis as a hardship for limiting him to only 720 square feet of garage space, and keeping in mind 720 square foot garage would be allowed in a lot in the original area of the city here that's only 50 by 100. So this area here is just over 1 acre in size. You could put 4 to 5 sized, normal sized lots from the R1, R2 district in this outline as it's being shown before you. I believe that is a summary of the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor of this proposal? Seeing no one, is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this proposal? Seeing no one, what's the board's decision?
Well, I don't think it's. I think it's in keeping with the size of the lot. Maybe that's something we've got to look at in our zoning ordinance. Frankly, whether we should have some ancillary.
I'll never use that word again.
Well, no, actually, in the zoning ordinances, it is used. As to whether or not that we should have a different size or ancillary size for adjoining for lots or houses or units. So I don't see any real problem with it myself.
I don't either.
The only question that I have is that a building of this size could indeed be converted to a commercial building?
No. No, the uses in the...
I mean, the rural, size could be.
The size could be. The size use would be. Not be allowed to
okay.
be.
Okay, well, so we're firm in our footing in terms of what the actual use can be. It can
sure.
only be used for storage for equipment that's used for on a personal basis as opposed to a professional basis.
Mm-hmm. Use of the thing for any other but residential use would be a violation of our ordinance, and we'd have to deal with that at the time that we were
okay.
aware of it.
I just wanted to make
Plus,
sure it was clear.
I guess an additional thing is it cannot be used as a residence, I don't believe. In other words, just because it's a big building, you can't live in it.
No, we okay. allow one house per residential right. lot.
So it will be an ancillary building that it cannot be used for residential purposes or for commercial purposes. It'll just be a barn.
I would refer to it as an accessory building.
Accessory building, okay.
Storage area.
I'll accept that.
Okay, mm-hmm. That works.
Is there a motion on this item?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second it.
There's been a motion to approve. Would you call a roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Aye. Case number 12-042 at 3656 Monks Road has been approved. Now we go to case number 12-044, which is 2312 Spruce Hills Drive, a C2 district. A request for a special use to allow a drive-up window submitted by TC and AC. Z Incorporated. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. This site is the former Fazoli's restaurant at the Cumberland Square Shopping Center. The applicant would like to open a new restaurant at this location, and as part of that operation is requesting to have a drive-up window. In May of 1996, the board approved the original Fazoli's with the drive-up window. This drive-up window will be in essentially the same area as was originally approved. However, we wanted to bring this plan back to you so that you could see all of the operations and how they would work in conjunction with one another and make sure that we didn't have any conflicts with any of the other businesses up at the site. The plan allows for up to 6 vehicles to be stacked at the drive-up window, this being the drive-up window. Also has an additional storage area for 5 more vehicles to stack after they have placed their order and they were waiting for their food to be prepared and brought out to the vehicles. There's ample parking on space throughout the site plan for people who would be going inside to get takeout food as well as dining in customers. All aspects of the drive-up are separated from other activities in Cumberland Square Shopping Center, and we do not see any types of conflicts with the other businesses in the area. There are 3 main access points for vehicles coming to the site, the first being the main entrance into the Cumberland Square Shopping Center, the second being the entrance in between Valley Bank and what will soon become a Culver's restaurant, and the third off of 18th Street coming in towards the back of the building where the drive-up window will be. Again, it separates those traffic patterns from the rest of the center very well and should work very well. And in fact, it proved to work quite well when it was a Fazoli's restaurant at this location. If allowed, this is the elevations of the building that once it is renovated, renovations are completed, is how the site will appear at the shopping center. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor of this proposal?
Good evening. My name is Chris McGuire with McCann Building Corporation. Tonight we're with Scott Davis, Mitch Pencil, Mike Jones are the owners of the proposed Culver's restaurant. And there are only 2 minor clarifications that I was asked to point out. For the applicant, it's TM and AC, the number 2, Inc. And then just for perhaps benefit, I'm oftentimes asked, the hours of operation are being proposed at 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Most often it'll be 10 p.m. at night, but there are summertime events or ball games or something else in which they may want to extend to 11 p.m. If there are any questions, we'd be glad to answer them.
You have any questions?
No, pretty clear cut to me.
Yep, I think it's what was there once before. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No problem with
it. I've heard very favorable comments about you coming to Bettendorf. So it's,
appreciate that.
Yeah, very, very nice. Is there a motion on this item?
I move we approve the request for special use for the drive-up window at Spruce Hills Drive, 2312 Spruce Hills.
I'll second it.
There's been a motion and a second to approve. Roll call, please.
Falk.
Aye.
Gallagher.
Yes.
Wallager.
Aye. The item has case number 12-044 at 2312 Spruce Hills Drive. A C2 district has been approved for a drive-up window. Is there any other items to be brought before this board?
I don't believe we have any other ancillary items for you this evening, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you.
Yes, I'm the bill.
I have nothing.
Make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.